Hi, podcast listeners. Welcome to the A World of Difference podcast. We have so many guests on this show making a difference in our lives, making a difference all around the world with the expertise that they bring. And yet so many of you are reaching out to me saying, you want more. It's not enough just what we're putting on these podcast episodes for you. And so I am here to extend a very warm welcome to you to our Difference Maker community, where you can join for as little as $5 a month to get all this extra content. Out the gate, you're going to get 30 plus minisodes of exclusive content not available for the regular podcast listeners, and an exclusive minisode every month. And you'll get exclusive voting power to help us pick podcast topics and more. And that's at our Changers tier. There's three different main tiers and then an extra larger tier. But whatever tier that you join at, you will be included in this extra content. And I know that many of you are wanting to go a little bit deeper. And so even though it gets a little wild in there sometimes because of how deep we go, I want you to join us there. This extra content is very special. It means a great deal to me to be a part of this community with you. And I would love to just exchange ideas or perspectives that you have around these different episodes. And that's the place where we do it. So please show up to our Difference Maker community. Give us $5 out of your pocket every month. And I think that you'll have a lot of fun in there because we do. And I would love for you to join us. So go to patreon.com/aworldofdifference to join us there. Welcome to the A World of Difference podcast. I'm Lori Adams Brown, and this is a podcast for those who are different and want to make a difference. Today on the show, we have Dr. L. Carol Scott. She's going to be talking to us today as a trauma-informed developmental psychologist, a TEDx speaker, a coach, and a number one international best-selling author. Carol brings the SASS, Self-Aware Success Strategies, to help you get along better in the adult playgrounds where you play. I know many of us are concerned about some of the situations and systems in workplaces and faith-based spaces where people who have been survivors of abuse or even potentially, you know, grown up in homes or faith-based spaces where abuse was happening and maybe even covered up really may not have had the tools to address those issues in our adult lives and in the workplace. And it can cause all kinds of situations that are as small as just a regular conflict or as large as actually experiencing abuse oneself in one's work environment, or especially in the faith-based spaces. As many of you know, I experienced abuse in a workplace environment, which was a faith-based space, a mega church. And the systems that were happening there, we could have used a lot more conversation and tools, especially from the one who was abusing us, so we could recognize some of those things a lot earlier and learn to be self-aware about what was happening in terms of the gaslighting many of us were experiencing and abuse that we also endured. So from a psychological perspective of someone who's trauma-informed, I felt like it would be helpful to learn from some different experts. So we're going to be having different people on the podcast to help us speak into these issues around mental health and wellness going forward. We're going to take just a few opportunities this summer to dig into that here and there as different podcast guests come on the show. But as we talk about this, and some of this might, you know, be triggering, so trigger warning to any of you who this conversation is too much right now, just feel free to stop the podcast now or take it in chunks because we will be dealing with, you know, the topic of how to be aware in your own self and your own body around issues of abuse that might be taking place toward you or around you that you're observing as a bystander. And so, yeah. Listener discretion advised from this point forward about this interview. And so hopefully this conversation today will help us all be a little more self-aware about some strategies we can use to help ourselves flourish and help all human beings flourish. So a very warm welcome today to Dr. L. Carol Scott. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today.
I am so thrilled to be here, Lori. Thank you for having me.
Well, we love talking to people that do all kinds of amazing things and write things and make differences around the world and bring their differences to the table. So it's wonderful to have you and get to know you a little bit better today and the work that you've done. So for those who haven't met you before or you're new to them, why don't you give us a little bit about your own background and how you became interested in this field of work that you do?
Okay, I'd love to do that. I call myself a trauma-informed developmental psychologist. And what that means is that I understand how children grow up from birth to adulthood, human development overall, but particularly I specialize in the birth to seven age range, and about how that period of our lives in particular makes us who we are as adults interacting with other adults, our relationships with each other as adults, and the unique ways in which we express our difference in the world is something that is created in those first 7 years of our lives.
It's a significant period of time, isn't it? And it number one, puts a lot of responsibility on parents and villages that are raising children together. But it also is important for us to know as adults that things that may have happened in our childhood can still be impacting us as adults, well, you know, into midlife and beyond. And there's a lot for people to unpack there, right? So,
your mom say not just can be influencing, but absolutely are.
Yeah, absolutely are. Yeah, no,
no doubt.
Yes.
No doubt. Yeah.
Well, this is exciting as a topic to talk about today because I know there are many people, especially during the COVID pandemic. I talk to therapists all the time that are professional therapists working in our community here where I live in Silicon Valley. And I actually was speaking to someone earlier today, and she said, if you came out of that whole COVID period of time, especially a year and a half of online school, and you aren't talking to a therapist, maybe you should, because we've all collectively as a planet dealt with something really difficult. And so, but your website really mentions that you specialize in resilience and change. So can you explain what that means and sort of why that's important?
Yes, sure. Absolutely. So we, as young children really have the opportunity to try out natural instincts for social and emotional connection with other people. And depending on what kind of response we get from the adults who are our caregivers and our educators, we may come into our adulthood with a great deal of interpersonal capacity for really healthy relationships that are fun and joyful and enriching and don't drive us nuts. And if we get other kinds of responses, or if we have if we participate in a cultural trauma, which I think the quarantine times of the pandemic were, those can shape us as well. So absolutely, kids who went through that period, young kids who went through that period, have a very big bunch of baggage probably to unpack depending on the health of their grown-ups. So, you know, what I really want people to know, though, is no matter how hard it got. So in the world of adverse childhood experiences, if you have seen the list of the 10 really adverse things that impact children's development in a negative way, so much so that they create physical health conditions, heart problems, cancer, diseases like diabetes in adults, that if you even have, you know, that level of trauma in your childhood, you can still have resilience and overcome that and have an adult life that is rich. And that's really my key message, is you're not stuck with what you grew up with. There is recovery. There is change.
Such a good message. Yeah. You can't control what happened to you, but you can give yourself the gift of doing that deep work and, you know, working toward flourishing for yourself and for those that you get to interact with. And it's brave work. It's courageous work. And it takes people to walk alongside us. So what are some of the common challenges, though, that you feel like people might face when they're trying to make these kind of changes in their lives? Mm-hmm. And how do you help them overcome those?
Good one. And this isn't a universal in terms of childhood across cultures. And I just want to be clear about that different different cultures, different countries in the world have different values about children, different beliefs about children's competence, different resources to support children and young families. And so it isn't always the same, but I work primarily with families in the U.S. where what I see a lot of is we blow toddlerhood pretty badly. We're not good with toddlers. We're not good with people who are independent and want to tell us all about what they think, what they want, and how they're feeling. And we tend to give them messages, we adults, that their emotions are overwhelming, what they want is wrong, and they're not understandable. They can't be understood. And that is a very frustrating set of messages for someone whose whole goal every moment of its waking day is to communicate, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. Look at me, see me for who I am. And we're just like, I'm sorry, what? And so that place of not having, growing up to be an adult who is not self-confident and relaxed about how I'm feeling and the fact that it's maybe different from how you're feeling, what I want, and being okay with asking for it, even if I get told no, or God forbid I get told yes, and what it is that I'm thinking, what my opinions are, what I understand the world to be, my stories about life and myself and you. And if I can't be comfortable and feel safe expressing that that's who I am, uniquely me, I'm a single point on the map, one datum, you know, then I can't hardly let you be that either. And that is the fundamental place where a lot of relationships go awry, is that I don't really know who I am. I don't really know how to express all of myself in an authentic way. And so I can't believe that you're also, that you're authentic, because you're in the same, you know, stick that I'm in probably. And so we, from the beginning, don't feel seen and don't feel like we can communicate ourselves.
Yeah, it's good. I'm sure in the work that you do, you get to see people transform and overcome all kinds of things. And so do you have any story that's really, you know, been meaningful to you about somebody's successful, you know, overcoming of obstacles in their own lives? And I'd be curious to know, were there any key factors, you know, that related to how they overcame with your help?
What is called to mind immediately is a woman I know who really heard that message of who you were when you were 15 months old and first were out walking around and taking in the world and expressing yourself as you. That person really was told that she wasn't okay. That person came away with the message that it's not okay to be who I am. And she came to a place of saying, I will do that. I will be myself. And if it means that I have to separate myself from some people that I've been close to for a long time in my life, then I'm going to do that until I can be myself with them, until I can speak in my voice. And so she basically just sort of covered up the page in her address book that had all of her family members on it and just did not interact with them for a while until she felt that she could go there and say, this is who I am, and it wouldn't matter how they reacted to it. Mm-hmm. That was the most amazing transformation I've seen. And it was a difficult one. And here's the resilience news story. She was able to reconnect with those family members and build really positive relationships with them.
Wow.
Before a couple of them died, before her parents were gone. And so she is back in relationship with those people. But she couldn't do it as long as she wasn't being anybody in particular.
Yeah.
Except whatever she thought would please them. And so
It's such difficult choices.
That's the work with a capital T and a capital W, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's worth
and,
it.
And, so you know, we're social beings. Yeah, it's absolutely so worth it. We do need support, and it's hard to find when you're making a whole different change. You know, I think about people I've known who've been in a cult, for example, and then when they don't toe the line or they leave, they get shunned and they lose people, but they have to do that deep, hard work of saying, what is it about me? You know, how was I gaslit? And like, you know, it's hard to come out of it when you don't have the support while you're doing the work. And that can be really hard. Do you have any tips for people who are having to, for example, cut off family members who are maybe abusive in various ways, physically or sexually, or, you know, all kinds of abuse that could happen in a family or coming out of a cult and, you know, making those changes while you need people? Have you had to walk through that with anyone else or anything similar? And if so, what advice would you give them on how to find new relationships that support them?
I think that's such a wonderful perspective to take on this, because sometimes that walk gets really hard. I think that I've moved through places in my life like that, where what I had to do was simply walk away from connections that had proven to be if not in a classic sense toxic, then hurtful to me, unsupportive of my well-being, my joy, my productivity in life. Mm-hmm. And I was involved in a spiritual community for a while where the charismatic leader, I wouldn't have called it a cult, but it had a charismatic leader for sure. And she and I really replicated some dynamics of my birth family, some of the trauma dynamics of my birth family, some of the painful interactions. And so I had to get to the point where I could see it. It was a healing for me to get to the point where I could see, oh, I see what this is. I've done this before. I've done this dance before. Mm. And this is here to teach me. This is like a new lens on something I'm familiar with. And so it took a friend. I think it's so helpful to build relationships with the people who see you and who can be compassionately honoring of your humanity when you're completely falling apart. Those kind of connections are so vital when facing something difficult. And it was a good friend who just was a mirror for me and said, you can walk away from this. You're a grown up now. You're not the child who can't leave. You can go take care of yourself, and you're strong enough to do that. And so I did. And that's not the only experience that I have with people becoming connected to someone who is amazing, a charismatic person who is amazing. It's easy to do, and it's easiest to do if we don't know who we are. If I don't have a strong sense of myself as someone who has her own ideas and her thoughts and her opinions, feelings and emotions that are unique to me, and a set of things that I'm looking for in the world, things that I want, that make me, what I feel, what I think, and what I want makes me a unique package. Ain't nobody else like that. And if everybody knew that with safety and with comfort and could relax into that, we would be a whole different kind of world, I believe.
We would. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're sort of always talking about here on this podcast, is our differences are beautiful and wonderful. And if we were all the same, how boring. You know, it's springtime here where I live in Silicon Valley, and I love seeing all the diversity of just flowers in my neighborhood. And you can see one rose on a rose bush, and it's slightly unique from every other rose on the same rose bush with the same color. And that beautiful diversity in the creation around us, it you know, brings awe and wonder to my brain and my body, and in humanity as well. And it's hard, you know. I have three teenagers, and the teenagers can be particularly challenging in human development, where especially like eighth grade, you know, I have two 15-year-old twins. They were 14 last year, and eighth grade in particular feels like this time where you just want to belong. You want to be like everybody else. Like you want to be unique, but you don't at the same time. Right. And so, yeah, I think when you get in environments like especially a spiritually abusive one or a toxic one in that way, that can really do a lot of damage to us. It could take a while to get out because you might have some good feelings in that group while at the same time you don't feel free to be yourself. And so thank God you had a friend that helped you know that it's okay to walk away and find a healthy space. Thank you for sharing that very vulnerably.
And you know, here's the thing. If in my community of choice for spiritual nurture, however I define that, I go to a Bible church, or I go to a temple, or I go to a center for spiritual living, or, you know, some place that seems obscure to mainstream Christians, it doesn't really matter, as long as I am accepted and loved there as a unique individual, a unique incarnation of spirit, a unique manifestation of God's creativity. Mm-hmm. However kind of language you put to it, I am a pinpoint of creation. I am one data point of creation, and I am as changing and as different as the roses on the bushes and the, you know, the cycles and the seasons of this planet. We're all in a creative process that is about change and movement, and so here we are. We're doing it.
We are, and it's beautiful, and it's something to celebrate. And the more we let the rose bushes be themselves and not try to make them tulips or carnations, the more they get to be who they are. Right. And that's really nice. Yeah. But you've written quite a bit. You've written something called The Resilient Mindset. Give us a little bit of overview of what you're talking about. Is that right? The Resilient Mindset? Is that the name of one of your books?
No, it isn't.
An article, actually. Maybe? Or you just talk
very
about
possibly.
Maybe that's what it is. Possibly, yes. Yes. But you talk about resilience.
But I do talk about that a lot.
Right. Yeah. How can people have more of a resilient mindset when it seems like it's just one hit after another? It's COVID, it's family issues, it's your grades in school, you know, your best friend broke up with you as a friend. Or, I mean, like, how do you stay resilient when it just feels like there's a tsunami wave after wave after wave hitting you?
It feels to me like the two keys are, it sounds almost trite to say it, but gratitude is one of them. And the other is to recognize that in addition to having adverse experiences in our life, we have positive ones. And it's easiest to talk about our adverse experiences. We get a lot of attention. That's another dynamic that's not necessarily healthy in relationships, that we give each other attention for complaining about the hard stuff, complaining about how difficult everything is, complaining about the things that have gone, quote, wrong. And we also have moments of utter bliss and joy, and great things happen. And somebody passes you, a stranger passes you in the mall and says, "My God, your hair looks great." I mean, you have the positive experiences too. We just don't tend to perseverate on them. We don't talk them to death like we do all the things that are a problem. Right now, I am I think I'm about 9 weeks now into healing a broken femur.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is like a big bone for anybody to break, but for an old lady in my stage of life, is like, that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
To break my femur. And I thought, you know, I still think I'm 35 in my mind,
right,
most of the time. So I thought, I got this. You know, I'm going back to my full-time RV lifestyle. I'm going to be driving. I'm going to be, you know, rolling out the hose and the power cord and doing all the things. I'm nuts. I'm absolutely nuts. And I could sit here and complain about all the pain and all the ways hard and the fact that I probably threw myself back into this too quickly. Or I can tell you about all the marvelous things that have happened because and through the pain and the disruption to my life, and my plans about how things should go have been left by the roadside like 100 times over the past 9 weeks. And that's okay, because there's still great stuff happening. There's still positive experiences for me to blend with the adverse ones. And that's resilience right there.
Mm. So good. It is true that our brains can hold the hard and the good all at once. I think there's circles in life or people in life that force us to choose to only live in one. But the reality is life happens, and yeah, acts of God happen that are out of our control. There's mistakes we make, and we mess up our own lives. Like, we do things too. And so, but just to jump over it and not sit in the pain for a little bit to learn the lesson doesn't heal our femur, but it also doesn't,
no, it doesn't
heal our minds
not.
And souls,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So. I have a metaphor. I'm studying in my religious spiritual tradition and philosophy, which is religious science, or the Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm studying about, you know, if the divine, whatever we think of as the unifying principle, the God stuff of the universe, if that is omnipresent, everywhere present, then everything that happens is God. It's being created in the moment as a divine thing. And so I've developed this metaphor for myself that my life is like being a really clever, hardworking little beetle who's tending 2 square meters of bark on the side of a big tree in an endless, infinite forest. And I beetle around my little 2 square meters of bark all day long, very happily, making it the best little square of bark any beetle could tend, and making good things happen for the tree because of my little bit of bark. And sometimes there's giant storms that pound me with rain and knock me off my little square, and the winds blow and leaves fly by and I get hit. And I think it's a bad thing. I think it's terrible. But what I don't understand is the forest needs the rain. There are things happening in the universe, things happening in our lives that are happening for reasons that are beyond our ability to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is. And some of those things seem, quote, bad. That's why I don't get very hung up anymore on the adversity of experience. Yes, it's painful. And yes, I'm going to be acknowledging my leg hurts.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that physical thing. I'm going to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, this morning, I went and got an acupuncture treatment, which was brilliant. That was such a good thing to do. And I'm going to take care of myself. And I don't have to get pulled down into, now I'm an old person and I have to sit in a wheelchair and have everybody bring me everything. There's a happy medium in here between the adversity and the positive.
Yeah, there is. And you're living it out. And thank you for showing us that example of how to do that. It's pain and suffering is often something we hide away in our culture. We don't like talking about it. No one does, really. Some cultures do it better than others. But I think just part of what it means to be an example as we grow older, as we're among those elders who are wise and have a bit of wisdom to share with the others, is that we can walk through these things and we can talk about them and we can care for ourselves. We can know our human limits, because we all have them, and just be open about those conversations. Because I think it's through that sitting in the pain and acknowledging it that we can find hope. But if we skip to hope and don't deal with the pain, then sometimes we're skipping the process. So thanks for sharing your knowledge and your life and your wisdom with us today and your journey a little bit. I'm really excited to introduce people here on the podcast that haven't heard of you before, and maybe reach out to you for more of your writing and speaking and work. We're going to stick around for a little bit with our Patreon supporters just to ask you another question with them. I just want to say, how can people find you and more of your work as they're looking to reach out to you?
Oh, Lori, I'd really love to invite people to send me an email so that I can connect you to my very infrequently mailed eBlast newsletter, but also I can send you by return email my little 28-page bookette. It's a PDF called Become Your Sassy Self, and I'll send that to you as an email attachment. Just send me an email with the name of the show, World of Difference Podcast, in the subject line.
Great.
And
yes,
you can
definitely reach out.
My email address in your show notes for folks.
Yes, definitely. We can do that.
Great.
For sure.
Great.
And thanks for being on the show today. And thanks for sticking around with our Patreon supporters. If you're a part of our Patreon community, you'll get a little extra bonus here. You're always welcome to join and add on to these extra conversations. So anyway, thanks for being on today, Dr.
Thanks,
Scott.
You bet. Thank you.
Do you find yourself needing to have more strategies about how to be self-aware in your workplace, in your faith-based space, especially as all kinds of situations come our way to affect our mental health? It could be abuse in an environment where we work or where we go to church or where we have volunteered. It could be just all the stuff we dealt with in the COVID pandemic that some of us are still unpacking, a year and a half of online school. It could be that some of us had childhood trauma and we are now in our midlife and understanding for the first time, some of us, that, you know, maybe we didn't have the tools to handle that well. And maybe you're a pastor and that's something you're dealing with. You lead a mega church and you have situations from your family growing up that you just have never dealt with, and you find yourself hurting others around you or fawning in a response to trauma when you see that taking place in your church, your mega church, your small church, your denomination. All of these things are things we're going to address today and at the intersection of how psychology and a trauma-informed approach can really help us to be more self-aware and to understand our responses that we're having toward trauma, toward difficult situations, and how we can be resilient to overcome those. And that it's never too late to do this work on ourselves, this onion layer of peeling back each layer to help us understand why we are reacting that way to traumatic situations or abuse in our environment, or why maybe you're the one who's perpetrating that abuse and you're trying to understand yourself. So this Dr. Scott is going to talk to us today as somebody who has dug deep as a trauma-informed developmental psychologist, as a TEDx speaker, a coach, and number one international best-selling author, about how we can get along better in these adult playgrounds where we play and work and live so that we can flourish and help others flourish around us. She's a nationally respected thought leader in early care and education. Carol is the former president of the board for Child Care Aware of America and the ECE system integration consultant for Early Care Plus, which is a public benefit technology company revolutionizing access for all parents and caregivers to the ecosystem of the ECE services. Carol is going to talk to us today because she knows that our success is determined by these first 7 years of life, but it's also not too late to do these, what she calls, development do-overs. And so, you know, if you are looking for someone to coach you as a client, she would help you understand your unique goals and what you're working through, and to pull you know, this SASS method to be self-aware and have strategies around that to help you achieve them. So she's going to talk to us today about how she uses this in her coaching and her writing and in her work as a developmental psychologist. So I'm happy today to introduce you to, unless you already know her, Dr. L. Carol Scott. As we're finishing this episode, if you're thinking, I really wish I could learn more or go a little bit deeper, well, that's what our Difference Maker community is for. I would love to welcome you in to join the rest of us there. Once again, it's only $5 a month to join, the price of a latte at your local coffee shop. You can join at our Changers tier. Difference Makers is a community that really means so much to me. It's very special because each time I have a guest on the show, I record something outside of what we give to just the regular podcast audience, where we go a little bit deeper. And then I post those video episodes in this community and we can discuss them. But also at the very beginning tier, which is our Changers tier of this community, you'll get exclusive voting power and help pick podcast topics that give us, you know, more of what we want from your perspective. You'll have access to exclusive 30 plus mini-sodes that aren't out there for the general public. And you'll get every month an exclusive monthly bonus mini-sode. At our Groundbreakers level, which is $10 a month, you can join and get all of that, but also priority access to submit questions to the podcast. And you'll get an additional 2 exclusive monthly bonus mini-sodes. And at our Trailblazers tier, which is $15 a month, the price of 3 lattes a month, you can get all of that, plus also 3 exclusive monthly bonus minisodes and a patron shout out. So I would love for you to join us at any of those tiers. It'll help you come into this community, be in the midst of all of us, other difference makers, and we'd love to hear your perspective. I certainly would. It's a place to engage more with me and the audience around what you like, what you're resonating with, and once again, go deeper with each of our guests. So please join us in this membership community. I would love to hear your perspective and love to share this extra content with you. So show up at patreon.com/aworldofdifference.